I'm closing out a series that I've been doing on the second coming of Christ. But in the closing, I want you to see the greatest of scriptures and to understand the greatness in God's word and the great blessing you and I have received from His death and resurrection. Not from ours. How many times you felt half dead and then later on you'd get resurrected? Well, Jesus was fully dead because he fully had to pay our price, the price for our own sins. You can live happily ever after. I'm going to tell you the true story right now that's going to let you understand something, that the ending of this true story is the beginning of the continuation of that true story, and it's better than any fairy tale ending that you will have ever heard. Because for Christians, endings in any situation in our life, or any phase of our life, ending just welcomes in a new beginning. If I end part of my walk with Christ, I can only end it knowing that I'm going to continue a walk in a different direction, but still for the same Christ. Let me read you my lead-in scripture that we've used through this series. Ecclesiastes 1:9. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Luke 18:8. I tell you, he will see that they get justice. Jesus is talking about his people. Jesus is talking about his bride, the church. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Heaven is a place where God's people live happily ever after. Now, what's the size of heaven? I don't know. And it cannot be measured by the human mind. The scripture lets me know and lets you understand also that your mind can never see the totality of what Christ has for us. We can picture heaven in a certain way and think this is the way it's going to be. And when we get there, we're going to find out something is better. You're going to find that there's no fault that you would ever have in your mind that's greater than the real creation of God. A place called heaven. What will we be doing in heaven? Living happily ever after. Isn't that what we've said we'd love to see? Isn't that what we have talked about on earth as we go through the trials and tribulations of life? It says, somebody tell me a story. Why don't we go to the movies? Why don't we get all the entertainment we can? I can tell you why. Because we need a break from reality. And we want to see something. You know what I do? It drives my wife crazy. I'm sure there's plenty. She's got lists like that. But one of the main things is, I love to watch reruns. You know why? Don't have to think. I watch a rerun, I already know how it ends. I don't have to think. I can sit there and just be entertained with that rerun. And as I remind you again, you can do this with the Bible. You want to know whether or not you really want to read that Bible? Read the last book first. Revelation. Go ahead. There's nothing you're not going to puff out in a big puddle of smoke. No, big puff of smoke's not coming. Read it, and then you'll see you want to read the beginning because the ending's great. The ending says that you and I, because of Jesus Christ, get to live throughout eternity happily ever after. We will be working for God and with God. We will be about our Father's business, totally. That's what's going to bring us happiness. Do you not feel on the inside the depth and the power of the happiness of Christ? See, it was amazing when he was born. It was something that we couldn't imagine, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, would be born in a manger. Then we continued to read the story. And as we read along in the story, we found out the very one with the greatest love within his heart, wanting to share that love throughout humanity where you and I could find peace on earth, was hated, despised, pushed to the side, called a drunkard, called a glutton, called anything and everything except for his true identity. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. All heaven knew his name. All the universe will always hear that name. The heart of man grew hard. Hard to the point that one point in history, God wiped out the human race. Amazing, isn't it? God says, that's enough. You know the only reason God hadn't said that's enough again? It's not time. God allows everything to go through his time. Not our time, his time. And God says to us, I want you to understand that you are going to live happily ever after with me. Revelation 21, verse 4. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. We are a part of the first things. We are a part of the first things of history. In the beginning, God created, and you have the whole Old Testament of how God worked in the heart of his chosen. Then the time came when Jesus, the Son of God, which had been planned from the beginning, Jesus comes to save a world that's lost, to touch the heart of the hardened-hearted people of his creation. He came with love. He came with understanding. He came with feeling, and he came with emotion. The feeling and emotion of every heart he came to minister to. You see, Jesus took our feelings and our emotions, and he lived them, and he conquered them. He knew that his ministry on this earth in the human form would be very short, some 3 years or so. He knew that. But in that 3 years, he lived within his own heart every hurt that you have ever seen or the world has ever known. He took every pain, every brokenness of the heart of the human race, and he says, whoever calls on my name will live happily ever after. Sometimes it takes us a while, Christian, to understand that our happiness ever after has already begun. It began when you said yes to Jesus Christ. It began with that first moment you said, Lord, save me. I got the stamp of approval of God's Son. FDA stamp of approval is nothing. Christian, you and I have the stamp of the mighty God, Jesus. If I have Jesus in my heart, will I not share Jesus to the world? Will I not stand strong for his name as he stood strong for our hurt and our pain? Is it not the power of the Holy Spirit that is to move us? God said, I want you to live happily ever after, but you can never live happily ever after without me. There's nothing happy about an ever after without Jesus. My life cannot get back together without Jesus. I cannot preach without Jesus. I cannot teach without Jesus. But I got the stamp. When I walk through those doors, one of these days, I've already been inspected. And I can tell you this, God will see the blood of Jesus Christ, not Larry Vance. Oh, Larry Pete's a mess, and you all know that. But Jesus saved this mess. And he said to this mess, see you later, Larry. We got an eternity of work to do together. And then he said, I love you. Woo! I love you. I love you so much that I'm going to take your punishment. I love you so much that I want you to live happily ever after. I love you to the depth of who I am. Therefore, any part of me and you will have the stamp of approval from me, says Jesus. You belong to me. Now, Larry, you don't belong to yourself anymore even. You belong to me. It is not your right to pick and to choose what you will preach. I've learned that one. It is not your ability, but my word that touches the heart of the lost and dying world. When I was reading the outlines that I fixed for this Sunday, I told my class earlier that I got Holy Spirit bumps coming up. My hair started standing up. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? You call them goosebumps. I call them Holy Spirit bumps, whatever you want to call them. But it's a feeling, knowing that God says, I want you to have happiness ever after. Larry, it begins now. Now I understand what that means. It doesn't mean, folks, that I have the power on my own, but through the Christ who touched my life, I can live happily ever after. And it's already begun because the Jesus that is in you, in this body, is the same Jesus you're going to see face to face when you walk through the gates of heaven. Heaven! A place that cannot even be described by the prophets who saw into it. The true prophet said, I don't know. It looks something like this. They could only refer to heaven from the human standpoint of it's greater than this and it's greater than that, because there weren't any words. Heaven is God's home. You and I have been invited to come home to God. I know I got a scripture in there somewhere that's talking about you and I are missing something. We're missing something in our life right now. The hurt that is within your heart is there, and I want you to count it as a blessing. Do you know why so many Christians are unhappy today? Do you realize many Christians are just unhappy with what's going on planet Earth? They're unhappy. You're unhappy. I'm unhappy. Why? I'm not home yet. But I'm going. You see, I was not created for this world, neither were you. I was created for a home that's waiting for me, waiting for you. It's not about me. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ, who's going to take me right on home. The door's waiting, and I'm just waiting for my ride. Think of it. You and I together forever and ever. That's what I keep telling you. Christians, would you hurry up and start getting along with each other down here on earth, because you're going to spend eternity with one another. You might as well start now. Well, I don't like the way they act. You're probably the reason they act the way you don't like. So get it together, because we're not home yet. And as we get older, we get homesick and we don't understand what that homesickness means. That homesickness means this, my friends. I and all Christians, everyone who has said yes to Jesus Christ, has a home. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare it for you. Larry, I'm going to go there and it's going to be a mansion. I have no idea what that means, but I believe it. Because you think about it. I know how you and I can think about what a mansion looks like on earth. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered to the heart of man what I have, the greatness I have prepared for you. Woo! That's going to be good, isn't it? But in the meantime, we're here. We're in a flawing body serving a flawless God. He puts us together one molecule at a time. And we look at each other so often and say, I think the Lord missed a couple. And they'll look at us the same way. Am I happy about leaving planet Earth? Yes. But my friends, I tell you this. I do not want to go until I have completed what God has called me to do. And I can give you this little point of truth also. I ain't going until Jesus says, that's enough. See, you and I are on God's. He doesn't deal with time, and I don't know what to call it. We're on God's timetable. And God doesn't even deal with time. He's in charge. He sent Jesus. You know what Jesus told us? Whoever calls on my name will be saved. But Lord, you meant they all had to be Southern Baptist. No, I meant they all got to be saved. I don't care what denomination tag they have. When you say yes to Jesus Christ and you accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, folks, you are heaven bound. And yes, there will be a few Southern Baptists there. But that doesn't have anything to do with it. You know what it's all about? Easter. That first Easter when God said, Son, I've put up with all I'm going to put up with. See, Jesus in a tomb. They thought he was out of sight, out of mind. There was something very important that happened that Sunday. God came looking for his son. You don't mess with God. A son that paid the penalty for your sin and my sin. I belong to him. I don't belong to a church. I belong to him. I don't belong to the denomination. I'm not going to get in all that garbage with them. You know why? We have a world that's going downhill fast. And the United States of America was the only hope for the world. The greatest of Christian nations turning their back on Jesus. You see, I do live happily. Because I read the book. And I know that Jesus says, I've built that mansion for you in glory. And I will bring peace to your heart. So I'm happy for what's coming. And for what is coming is so much greater than all the foolishness we put down here on earth. I'm happy. Because you see, I can always look up and be proud of what's ahead. Eternal life with Christ. Because it's already begun here on earth. I will not waste my time looking back and seeing all my mistakes. Don't have to. You all remind me of a lot of them. I'm not going to look back. I got time. But a short time. I know that. To deliver the message that God has called me to deliver and to the people he's called me to deliver it to. Jesus said, I've come to pay. And when he paid for me with his blood, I belong to him. Do not mess with the child of God. He already showed them that first Christmas that he's not going to play around. You might put the church in a tomb, but Sundays are coming. They may take you and put you in a jail cell, or me, the preacher, for preaching. I cannot believe, preacher, that you preach that hate stuff. Because you said Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's hateful. No, that's truthful. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And therefore, If the Christians must be locked up because of that, then we're going to have revival in prison again. Because God says, I'm coming. He warned the elders. He warned all the smart Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, I'm coming. They didn't even show up for his birth celebration. And so Jesus, when he left, he only dealt with those who believed. When he went up into the clouds, the angel said to the disciples, why are you all looking up there? The same Jesus that you see going, he's coming back. Folks, when you know in your heart that he came the first time and he said, I'm coming back, get ready, he's coming back. And I suggest with all your heart, all your being, that you understand he says, I'm coming back, not as a servant anymore, but as a reigning, powerful king. And my people will reign with me. He says, do you not know, people, that you will judge the angels? Therefore, should you not listen to the greatest of judges? And let me tell you this, Christian. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, he took the judgment. And he said, Larry, one of these days I'm going to look at what you've done and I'll burn a lot of it, and I'll bless a lot more. But you will never see any other place but heaven. Welcome home, folks. You have the opportunity right now to seal and shut the door of your eternity with you right on the inside when you say yes to Jesus Christ. The sermon I was going to preach looked pretty good on paper. So I'll probably hand it out later on a Wednesday night or so to where I can teach it. But the sermon that you have in your heart, Christ put there. And that's what matters. His word, his truth in your heart. Not whether or not I can keep up with one of my outlines. It's what's in the heart. Let's preach it. Let's teach it. And let's accept it. It's a gift from God. It just don't get better than that, Brother Randy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and for the life that you have given us. We thank you, Father, for the peace and the joy, and Father, for just the truth that you've given to us. Touch each of us now, Father, as we prepare our hearts, as we prepare our understanding. As Christians, Father, we understand we're already there. We can count it as already being home. Thank you for sending Jesus. And it's in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus the Christ, I lift our heart to you. Amen.